Good morning. You're listening to Morning Edition on KGOU. I'm Kurt Gwartney. Last month, Governor Mary Fallon announced her plans to support an initiative petition in 2014 to change the way tobacco is regulated in Oklahoma.
Our goal has been to empower people to be able to make the decisions about their local communities and the citizens to be able to have a voice.
Michael Givel is a University of Oklahoma political scientist who studies health and tobacco policy. He told me that the preemption of stronger local laws by the state started more than two decades ago with the 1987 Smoking in Public Places Act.
And the battle to repeal preemption has been going on up until now, and the winners so far have been the tobacco industry and their allies.
But this taking it to a vote of the people, this is new for Oklahoma anyway.
It's very new. Taking it to the legislature, beyond the legislature, means, of course, that it's been bottled up in committee and killed, the repeal of preemption. So a direct vote to the people is very new and is a dramatic new tactic to repeal tobacco control preemption in Oklahoma.
As far as you know, have other states taken this route to tobacco control at the local level?
A few have. A lot of states have repealed preemption legislatively. They didn't have to do this. And at the moment, super preemption is only in force in two states, Oklahoma and Tennessee.
So what is the concern on the tobacco industry side? Why do they tend to support votes that keep that control at the state level?
Because it's much easier to monitor these laws, to lobby for it, because they have a lot of powerful lobbyists in the state capitol. The law is uniform and fairly weak, and they are afraid that vigorous enforcement based on local needs and perceptions, enforcement like the city of Norman, for instance, might have a small citation for violating this law, which is not in the case in state law at the moment.
What do you think are the chances and the risks and negative sides of taking this particular question to vote of the people?
The industry and its allies will throw a lot of money to defeat this, and the health organizations may be outspent on this. On the other hand, this is a very popular issue, and it will depend on how this issue is framed and what the message is on both sides.
The city of Pueblo, Colorado, serves as a great example. When their citizens were given local control and allowed to implement a tobacco ban in local taverns and restaurants, they saw a dramatic reduction in smoking and smoking-related illnesses. In fact, the city's heart attack rate dropped 30%.
And I asked the governor just recently if she had an idea of how this petition might shape up, what it might look like, and the answer is basically, we don't know yet. Do you have any ideas of what a petition might look like? What are those kind of the options do you think that might face voters when they get this in 2014 if it goes through the system?
Well, they can do two routes. One, they could basically repeal the preemption clauses in the state law, or they can pick and choose particular areas like public, you know, smoking in public areas or tobacco enforcement with youth in local areas or whatever. Interestingly enough, across the country, regardless of the state is considered more liberal, centrist, or conservative, it's about 70 to 80% of these things do pass. But it's also going to be a matter of what kind of campaign themes are brought up. You might want to watch for the industry and its allies to talk about adult choice and freedom of choice and those sorts of issues. And you might want to watch for the health groups, obviously, to talk about the dangers of secondhand smoke and tobacco industry manipulation to get people to start smoking and so forth.
And when I brought this up with Senate President Pro Tem Brian Bingaman, one of his responses was, well, when we pass stricter smoking regulations statewide, we basically entered into an agreement with businesses, restaurants, that you build a separate facility, you can keep smoking. And he kind of made the economic promise argument that we told these people, you do this, we're going to kind of leave you alone. How does this play out over time in terms of an economic effect on restaurants and places?
Well, there have been a number of peer-reviewed scientific studies on it, and interestingly enough, none of them have found any economic impact on the bottom line for businesses.
Now, the other political leader in the state, the new House Speaker T.W. Shannon, when asked him basically very similar question, and his response was that the focus on, you know, regulation is misplaced, and instead the focus needs to be on addiction.
Because that's where all the statistical data that I've seen indicates for health indicators for Oklahoma that we have a real problem. We have too many young people with access to nicotine and too many people that are addicted to it.
Well, the focus is on both. It's about regulating regarding a very highly addictive substance. Tobacco is as addictive or even more addictive than heroin, for instance. And encouraging people that this is a good social practice or a good public health practice is, from the public health point of view, very unwise. We have a lot of tragic stories in many of our families about people dying from lung cancer and so forth due to tobacco.
And that reminds me that when Governor Fallon talks about this issue, she almost always brings up her two parents who both she attributes their deaths to smoking. Interestingly enough, House Speaker Shannon also related that one of his relatives had lung cancer and had been a smoker. Is this one of the reasons why maybe that polling is at the levels it is for people who support this, is that we many of us have had that personal relationship?
Absolutely. You know, if someone in this modern age is diagnosed with lung cancer, the odds are about 80 to 90% or maybe even a little higher that has to do with smoking. And people know exactly what the impact between smoking is and the disease and death that happens.
Are there any communities that get lifted up as kind of examples that have studied the change in the health of their population from a more open smoking type situation to a ban or a reduction in that?
California is always looked at, Massachusetts and even Florida, but California in particular began this effort in places like San Francisco, you know, passed Measure P a long time ago. And the rate of smoking in San Francisco and California is a lot less than the national average, the prevalence of percentage of people who smoke every year.
And how does Oklahoma fall in that?
We're pretty high. We're at the other end.
And our overall health ranking is also, I mean, it's improved a bit. We've, you know, in one national study has us from 49 to 43, which is, you know, moving up several spots. But again, smoking keeps us low, doesn't it?
That's one of the primary factors, yes. Smoking is related to stroke, heart disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, and a variety of cancers.
Michael Gibble, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
That was University of Oklahoma political scientist and health and tobacco policy expert Michael Gibble. He spoke to me about Governor Mary Fallon's plan to put stronger tobacco regulation to a vote of the people in November of 2014. You can read Michael Gibble's entire 2005 report on the relationship between the tobacco industry and the Oklahoma legislature on our website, kgou.org.